Hi, this is MF Kelleher. It's the finale of Season 2. At the end of the episode, there's a preview of Season 3. Official Denial. British Spy Stories. Season 2. The Kill Order. Episode 29. Gabrielle and Panama are on one side of the hallway inside the mansion as the rocket-propelled grenade hits the front wall. The glass in all of the windows shatters, and a large section of the front wall caves in like paper, bringing plaster and glass cascading into the space. The whole room is filled with dust and debris, reducing the visibility to zero for 5 seconds. As the cloud settles, they can see the outline of a gaping hole in the outside wall, and water pouring out of a burst pipe that's now shattered. A shot rings out from Laravel's position, and her voice comes over comms.
I hit the rocket launcher, Guy. Disable the launcher too, please,
says Gabby.
Mum?
We have company beta side, says Hans.
Numbers?
2.
Fire at will,
says Gabby. A sound of shots can be heard from the trees to one side.
Launcher destroyed, Mum,
says Laravel.
But they're trying the car attack again. Aim for the driver.
At that moment, the sound of firing comes from the front and one side of the house. Gabby goes out to the yard area behind the kitchen. That will give her some cover. She positions herself with good view of the top of the drive and can hear the car accelerating towards the house.
No hit on the driver,
says Laravel.
They're pulling up outside the front door.
Gabby can see the car, but no one opens the doors and there's a moment's silence between the bullets. She waits. After 30 seconds, Gabby raises her rifle and fires at the car, hitting the front bumper. The move triggers the men inside to disembark, and all the doors open simultaneously. 4 men emerge, with guns firing. Gabby ducks down, then opens fire on the group, hitting one, who goes down. Hans fires from the woodland and hits another. The final 2 men reach the front door, and Gabby sees them enter the house. She runs around, retracing her steps back into the hallway, and arrives as the men barge in and try to make for the stairs. Gabby pulls her trigger and hits one in the leg. The final man fires at her. Then he sees Panama, who has struggled to upright and is leaning against the wall. Panama and the man both open fire, and both are hit. The attacker goes down, and Panama slides back to the floor. Gabby runs to him, but he's weak.
Vita!
She slaps his cheek. He doesn't respond. She checks his new wound, which is a shot in the stomach.
Hang in there. We won't be long.
She is forced to leave him.
Sit rep,
she screams into comms.
Under fire, Mum, says Hans. One in.
A car's been made ready. Moving now, coming towards us. It has a white flag out of the side window.
As the vehicle approaches, the firing stops in the woods. Gabby leaves her rifle and walks out, then stands in front of the rubble that has replaced the front door as the car draws to a standstill in front of her. Florin, Babu and Darius get out from the front doors of the car, their hands held where Gabby can see them.
You win, Erica, says Babu.
Gabby says nothing.
You've taken out most of my men.
Why would I trust you, Florin?
All my cards have been played. We want a deal.
You have to leave Irena and Jacob alone, Florin.
That's not what we said.
That's before you broke your promise.
I have something of yours I'd like to trade for my son,
he says.
You've got nothing I want.
Babu looks at Darius and nods his head, back towards the SUV. Darius walks to the back of the vehicle, opens the back door, and picks up something. Not until he rounds the corner of the car does Gabby see that he has Catherine in his arms. Her face is bloodied and her body is limp as he carries her. Darius drops Catherine roughly to the ground.
"She's alive," says Babu.
Through the comms in Gabby's ear, Laravel's voice whispers,
"Locked on the henchman?"
"You're not getting Jacob," says Gabby. Babu nods again to Darius, who pulls a gun from his waistband and points it at Catherine's body in the dirt.
"Your colleague for my son."
Hans walks out and stands on the edge of the woodland. The seconds seem to slow. Laravel and Hans wait for the trigger word from their operational commander.
"My answer is Skylark."
In the instant that the word leaves her lips, Laravel's bullet hits home on one side of Darius's head, splitting it open and spraying blood across the ground before his body collapses. Jenny reloads and the second bullet cracks into Babu's left foot and he falls against the SUV. Gabby walks over to him.
"Here's my deal, Florin. We'll let you live. You'll go back to Belgrade and you'll dance to our tune. When I ask for information, you'll give it to me."
"Why would I?" he says. "You're nothing. My contacts will hunt you down."
"Jacob and Irina will disappear. Officially, they died here today. You'll mourn your son and be seen to mourn your son. One day, you may see him again."
Babu says nothing.
"Hans, put cuffs on him,"
she says.
While he thinks,
Hans walks over, cuffs Babu, and sits him in the car. Then he kneels next to Catherine, checking her wounds. Laravel calls from the hallway, behind Gabby.
"Gab, you need to see this."
Gabby walks back inside the house. Laravel is bending over Panama, who's lying where he fell on the floor.
"No pulse, Gab."
Gabby breathes out and rests her hand on his forehead.
"I'm sorry, Vita."
The spring sunshine bounces and refracts off the roof of the Berlin Hauptbahnhof station. Laravel pulls a wheeled suitcase along the platform, followed by Gabby and lastly Irina, with her hand firmly holding onto Jacob.
"This is your carriage?"
says Laravel in Russian. They take the case inside, then walk back out to the platform, where Gabby is waiting.
"Thank you," says Irina. "You've saved my life, and my boy's life. When you get back to London, they'll meet you off the train and find you somewhere to stay,"
says Gabby. "Then they'll sort you out two new names.
Do you know where you're going to end up?" "Not yet," says Irina.
The three women look at Jacob through the glass.
"I heard what you said to Florin on the forest, that he would be able to see Jacob one day."
"I lied," says Gabby. "Part of the job, sadly. He'll never see him. I suppose if Jacob wants to see him when he's older, he could. But that's up to you. As long as Babu thinks there's a chance he may see him, we can pull his strings and he'll be a source for us." The sound of the guard's whistle flows over the surrounding noise. Irina kisses them on the cheek and gets on board. The train pulls out and they all wave. Gabby and Laravel turn back to the main concourse and start to walk.
"What about Uana and Teresa?"
says Laravel.
"You've done what they said. Babu will publicly mourn his son. As far as the world is concerned, Jacob died in our operation. London are going to shut the route down now. It's no longer of any use to us."
The two women reach the entrance to the station. Hans says he's organising something special in the bar tonight, if you're free, says Gabby.
I'll see you later.
Only a handful of people are visible on the streets around the Met Bar, mostly making their way back home from the supermarket, or arriving late after a day in the office. A rough handwritten note pinned to the door of the bar says, "Closed for private party." Inside, Hans is standing behind the bar, pulling bottles from the glass shelves along the back wall. He busies himself mixing combinations of drinks and tasting the results with varying degrees of success. He looks up when he hears the tap on the door and walks over to unlock the bolt at the top.
"Hello, Gordon," says Laravel.
"Come in, Jenny. You're the first. Want a drink?"
"What's all this?"
she says, pointing to the bottle forest on the bar.
"That's for later."
His eyes widen.
"A surprise."
"I'll have a red wine for now, then."
He puts a glass down in front of her and pours a Malbec.
"How's your arm?"
"Good. What about your hand?"
"It's a scratch."
Another knock comes on the window of the Met Bar, making them look round to see Catherine's face at the door. Hans opens the door and Catherine swings a set of crutches in through the doorway, and they help her to sit down at one of the tables. He pours her a double of whiskey. She knocks it back in one, then lets out a long breath.
"What was it like being back in the field, Gordon?" she says.
"It all came back. I just want more now."
"What about you, Jenny? Your first field battle?"
Laravel nods.
"Does it get any easier?"
she says.
"No, it doesn't,"
says Catherine bluntly. It has started to rain by the time the roar of the Z4 sounds from the junction by the bridge, and they look up as Gabby parks outside. A fine mist of water drenches the street and gives the plate glass windows of the Met Bar a reflective sheen. Hans opens the door and waits for her to climb out and walk into the cocooned warmth. He gets more drinks from the bar and they all sit around a table near the window. The others are unconsciously silent, and their eyes fall on Gabby.
"I'm not going to give some fucking speech, you know,"
she says to them. But she can feel the weight of their expectation.
"All right,"
she puts her hands up in mock surrender.
"We did well. Irena and Jacob are safe, and Florin Barbu is our number one man in the Serbian Mafia. A toast, though."
She raises her glass.
"To Vita."
They all follow her lead.
"What happened to you, Kate?"
says Laravel.
"When I woke up after they snatched me from Innsbruck, I was in a container for hours. They must have been taking me up through their smuggling route."
"Did they break your leg?" says Hans.
"I tried to escape, and they got a bit heavy."
She touches the cuts on her face.
"Nothing I couldn't cope with there."
"Your kill order was leaked," says Gabby. "There was a hack on an Oberon file from the UK. They got access to an MI6 laptop somehow."
Gabby's phone vibrates in her back pocket. She pulls it out.
"It's Sir Bernard,"
she says to the group. Then walks to the back of the bar to take the call.
"Blackhawk,"
he says from the earpiece.
"Sir?"
"Well done on Barbu."
"Thank you, sir."
"I don't know if you've heard about Marcus Murphy."
"I heard he'd gone."
"It leaves a vacancy in the role of head of MI6 European Operations, Gabriel."
"Quite."
"Would you be interested?"
"That's very kind of you, sir," she says. "But I don't aspire to that sort of job."
"Possibly as an interim, then?"
"I'm sorry, Sir Bernard. My life's about field ops, getting stuff done, being in the thick of the battle. I'm no good at presentations and spreadsheets."
"I hear you,"
he says.
"I'll talk to you soon, Gabriel."
"Thank you, sir."
The line goes dead and she walks back to the others.
News?
Says Hans.
Sir Bernard says well done.
They raise their glasses again.
So, Gordon,
says Catherine,
what are all those bottles on the bar for?
Come this way, ladies.
He stands and they follow. He pours various liquids into the cocktail mixer, announcing each ingredient as he does so.
Ice, 1 shot of rum, 2 shots of Kahlua, orange juice and Campari.
He puts the top on the shaker and shows off with fancy moves which they groan at and heckle him.
Just don't bloody say, shaken not stirred,
says Laravel, and they all smile.
Let me present to you,
says Hans, pouring the resultant mixture into a margarita glass with a slice of orange peel.
The Black Hawk cocktail.
He pushes the glass towards Gabby. She takes a sip. The others wait for her reaction.
Actually, I could be persuaded to like this. After 1 or 2, Gordon.
And they all laugh. Coming next week, British Spy Stories Season 3, Official Denial. Here's a preview. Laravel pulls off the lens and walks towards the restaurant. There are no tables left, but the waiter finds her a place at the bar, and she orders food, all the while watching Elena and her lunch companion from the other side of the restaurant. She finishes some of the food and walks towards the front of the place, making directly for Elena. As she passes the table, Laravel drops her phone onto her foot to reduce the impact. It skates off her shoe and across the floor to land among the table legs near Elena.
Oh, I'm sorry,
she says in Russian.
My phone? I dropped my phone?
Elena and the man at the next table turn and realize what has happened. The man tries to help, but Laravel tells him that she can retrieve the device. She drops to her knees and reaches into the gap between the tables. Elena's long coat is on the back of her chair, and Laravel opens her palm and pushes one micro tracker onto the fabric of the coat. Then, with a single sweep of her hand, she manages to briefly touch Elena's boot and attach a second micro dot tracker to the toe cap. With profuse apologies, she stands up and proudly shows that she has the mobile phone in her hand, and everyone goes back to their meals. Laravel returns to her place in the bar, pays the bill, and slips back out into the street.